Get your Bibles open. We are going again to the portion of Scripture that we read before from Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And our text this morning will be, "Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son cometh." As we come now to look at these few verses of Scripture found here in Matthew chapter 25, which are about the 10 virgins. They took their lamps, and we see they all went forth to meet the bridegroom. Half of them, we are told, are wise, and the other half were foolish. You see, those who are the children of God are truly wise. I'm not talking this morning here about worldly wise or even street wise. Indeed, those who are wise concerning the things of the world, the very opposite is said of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 7. "For ye see your children, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confront the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confront the things which are mighty." Again in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." Again in Matthew 11, verse 25, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." So you see, the wise of the world, the great deep thinkers, the great learners, God often passes over them. And he takes some little children that knows nothing of the world, and he makes them their very own. "Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings has thy ordained strength." Psalm 8 and verse 2. Why is that? Well, he does that so no man can boast and say, "By my own wisdom and knowledge, I have saved myself." Those that belong to God, are they indeed wise and the only wise? I'd have to go as far as saying that because God has caused them to see the things as they really are. They know that this life that they live is a short life. The most we can expect is 70 years, and that each moment is precious to them. And they don't want to be wasted by some form of pretense of godliness. You see, the children of God see themselves as they really are. They know by nature they are children. They are children of wrath. They know the awfulness of sin and the awfulness of sin in the sight of a holy God. And they know how the lusts and the pleasures of this world can blind their souls. But most of all, they can see the favor of God towards them, and they know how precious that is. You see, the true Christian cares little for man. Instead, they fly to the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation and for their refuge. Of course, there are many Christians today who would say they are Christians. They would profess some outward form of Christianity, which can be easily disguised as the real thing. Well, they are called hypocrites. You see, hypocrites always rest on their own knowledge. You could try to tell them anything and they'll turn around and say to you, "Oh, I know that." You could tell them of their sin, you could tell them of their need for Christ and the judgment of God to come. And they will tell you they can be saved because they have this great knowledge. But sadly, they do not rely wholly and truly and fully on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They rarely pray to Him. And they do not truly and fully turn away from their own sin. But they that belong to the Lord Jesus Christ do all these things. A child of God does not live for today or tomorrow. The child of God lives for eternity. But the hypocrite only for a time. In Job 20 and 5, the triumph of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Remember Judas? He had all the means. He looked like a true disciple and a true believer, and he kept that appearance up to the very end. As did Demas, he wanted to deceive Paul. And so we see that there are many who want to keep up an appearance. They want to keep up an appearance that they are believers. That, of course, is a sin in itself. They are deceivers. You see, the child of God lives for eternity because he is wise. The child of God is like God. But we know, of course, that God is the only true wise. Those who flee to the Lord Jesus Christ are being changed into the image of God. You have His Spirit and you live to please God, and you live to please God alone. You see, the wise and the foolish are alike in many, many ways. In verses 3 or 4 of our passage, you see they all appeared the same. They were all virgins. They were probably dressed in white. They all carried the lamp. They were all one mind. They were all going to meet the bridegroom. There was only one thing in which they were different. The foolish took no oil with them. You see, the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And so it is this day in many things. We cannot see the difference in them that are truly the children of God and in those who are pretending to be Christians. They may sit under the same ministers. They may even sit in the same seats. They may sing the same praises. They may listen to the same sermons. And yet the Bible says that some are foolish virgins and they will be separated at eternity. You see, we can't distinguish between the true Christian and the one that isn't. It is only God and God alone who can distinguish between the true child of God and those that are pretending to be Christians. Oh, they most likely speak about the same things, the conviction of sin, seek Christ and so forth, and yet at the same time their hearts are so far away from God. You see, they are lovers of pleasures more than they are the lover of God Himself. You see, we cannot get a better example of what is before us today. For we are told that they all went out to meet the Lord. And the only difference was that today was that they had no oil in their vessels. Of course, when Scripture in the Bible speaks of oil, It's usually referring to the Holy Spirit. You will find that those who are not the children of God often strive against the Spirit of God, just as they did in the days of Noah, when he pleaded with them to forsake their sins and enter into the ark. We know they didn't. And so it was with the children of Israel in the wilderness. They rebelled and they vexed the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63:10. Also in the days of Stephen, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do ye. Acts 7:51. You see, all of God's children are taught by the Holy Spirit, and they're taught of God. Without this, no man can come to Christ, for his soul is dead. The Holy Spirit teaches us our lost condition, and then he glorifies Christ. Do you know something of this? Has the Holy Spirit revealed to thee the condition of your sins? And have you seen Christ standing there pleading with thee? I ask you, have you a new heart in which the Spirit of God dwells within? In other words, have you oil in your vessel with your lamp? In verse 5, we read, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Do you remember what Jesus says to his disciples on the night of the Last Supper? He said, in a little while you shall not see me again. And a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father. John 16:16. Revelation 16:5. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Many of the early Christians came to a conclusion, and they were thinking that Jesus would come in the days of Paul. But in 2 Thessalonians, he had to warn them that that wasn't so. But we also find scoffers in Peter's time saying, where is the promise? Where is the promise of his coming? Since that time, of course, centuries have passed and come and gone, and yet Jesus Christ has not yet returned. You see, this explains what it's wrote for here. The bridegroom tarries. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, that is the reason why the Lord tarries. When we look around us and look around the world with all its evil and wickedness and all the hatred against God, it's enough to make us despair. But when we cast our minds on the Lord and know that he's aware, that he sees all of this, and there then can we perceive something of the long suffering and the great compassion the Lord has for all sinners. He tarries. Today and every day till the Lord Jesus Christ is gathering his elect, and from the Gentiles as well. He is building his great church. He is adding soul by soul or stone by stone. He will not come again until that last stone or soul is in place. Remember what he told Paul? He told him to remain in Corinth. Why? For I have much people in the city. You see, it is for that very reason that ministers are found in the pulpit today preaching God's word day, Lord's day after day, because There's still many to come. When that is reached, and those that are ready will enter in with him to the marriage, and then the door will be firmly shut. You see, we live now in a time of grace. Do you thank God that we do? Is it part of your prayer that we are still living in the time of grace, that the Lord Jesus Christ is still standing with his arms open, pleading with you to come and believe and trust in him? But you know that time of grace will come to an end. The world we live in says, oh, where's this promise of his coming? All things continue as they were. The child of God says, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which we cannot see. He also tarries that our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will grow. And then we read, while they waited, they all slept. The wise and the foolish, they all slumbered and slept. It's not unusual to read about believers falling asleep. Remember the apostles, when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, they slept. Remember when all the disciples were gathered there in Gethsemane? Where do we find him when Jesus returned 3 times? Sleeping. Did not Paul cry out to the Romans, it's time to wake out of your sleep? It seems that when the sinner is first brought to Christ, their eyes are wide open. But as they get on with their living in this world, and they see the violence and the sinfulness of sin, you see the vain promise and the vanity and the pleasures that this world has to offer. And they realize that they themselves have been snatched from the fires of hell. And then they see Christ in his beauty and all his fullness and all his glory. But it seems that there is a time when the stress of life dulls all those things. We come a bit dull, as if one was sleeping. The foolish ones also slept, or the hypocrites at this stage, as we're talking about. I think they would be best described again as the stony ground hearers. At one time, they had a great deep conviction for their sin, and they received the word of God with great joy, and after a while it dies. You see, they go so far with the things of God, but they never finish the course. They give up. The difference between the two sleeps of the wise and the foolish: the godly still had oil in their vessels, and the foolish had none. Now the godly wake out of their slumber. And yet the Bible clearly warns us that all believers, no matter who they are, against falling asleep. It said we are to be vigilant and watchful. And then we read again in verse 6, at midnight the cry was made. Now when it talks about midnight, midnight does not mean that the Lord Jesus Christ will return again to this world at midnight. It's not saying that here. It means an unexpected time Christ will come. That is what Scripture tells us. Of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. Watch therefore, for you know not whether the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Christ's return is compared to a thief breaking into a house. The day of the Lord cometh as a thief at night. The thief does not come to you and say, well, I'm going to break into your house this afternoon or tonight or at a certain time. And so it is with Christ. So it is with the bridegroom coming. You know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come. See, the thief comes when the household is at rest. Perhaps it seems, according to this passage of Scripture before us, that he might return when the world is at slumber. And that's a maybe. Even before, among Christians today, we hear them trying to predict when the Lord will come. And you know, it's really sad to have to listen to that. Why can't we just take the Lord Jesus, say our Savior, at his own words? Instead, what all Christians should be doing is preparing themselves for that great and terrible day, whenever it will be. I ask you, if Jesus was to come today or tonight, are you ready? Have you prepared yourself for heaven? Those who are still outside of Christ, how dreadful it's going to be for you. Excuse me. If Christ comes and finds you still in a sinful state, perhaps you're like Agrippa. You almost persuaded to be a Christian. Or maybe you're like Felix. Oh, I have plenty of time before I die. I'm going to enjoy myself first. I'm going to enjoy what this world has to offer. Well, ask yourself, what do you do if the cry goes up at midnight? There'll be no time to prayer. There'll be no time to go to God's word and read. There'll be no time for conversion. You have to ask yourself, what are you going to do? Good friends, they all rose and trimmed their lamps together. The foolish discovered that their lamps had gone out. Why? They had no oil in their lamps. You see, they had burned brightly for a while, and then it was gone. I don't know if you know much about oil lamps, but the wick in an oil lamp often burns at a great blaze for a while, and then it just goes out because there's no oil. And so the hypocrite often keeps up the profession to the last. They have some form of godliness. And so they deceive themselves, but not only do they deceive themselves, they deceive others. But the sad thing about that is their lamps will go out at the coming of Christ. Why? Because they have no indwelling grace. They have no enablement for them to cleave unto the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Dear friends, make sure of a deep and real work of grace within your heart. See, the man that builds his house upon the rock, he has to dig deep. He has to dig deep to learn the foundations. We have to dig deep into the Word of God. I would plead with you, make sure your conversion is real. It's very easy to be a Christian before men. But when that day comes and you stand before the Lord, will your light be burning or will it have gone out? You see, God looks at our hearts. We can't do that, only God can do it. On that great day, the hypocrite will see the difference between themselves and the ungodly. They cry out to him, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. Their lamps will have gone out, but the lamps of the godly will be bright and clear. You see, there are many who do not see the need of God's grace. They are quite content, they are quite happy to live as they are. But in that day will you be crying, give us your oils. The because you'll see the peace of the godly. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ will give them peace amidst a falling world. You will see the joyfulness and the coming of the bridegroom. Now, of course, the godly are poor in this world. They're despised often in this world. They're troubled and they're chastened. But on that day they will be seen as jewels in the king's own crown. Malachi 3:17, "And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spur them as a man spurs his own son that serveth him." On that day, those that are outside of Christ will again bring to remembrance. They'll bring to remembrance the ministers who stood before them. They'll bring to remembrance the godly friends who pleaded with them, beseeching them to get oil of grace in your heart, and they would not. But you see, when the bridegroom's coming, you will be crying and knocking, "Give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out." It'll be absolutely awful day for anyone who's outside of Christ. And the answer came back from the wise at verse 9. "No, lest there not be enough for us." Perhaps you're thinking, these Christians are very selfish. Why don't they just share their oil? Well, I'll tell you this. It's not in their power to give grace to others. God uses only the godly as instruments of grace. We are not given the fountains of grace. 1 Corinthians 3:6, "I have planted, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase." Remember Jacob, Rachel, as she said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, Am I of God's stead? In other words, am I in God's place? You see, grace is not in the hands of man. They that receive Christ are born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. John 1:13. It would be vain for us to cry out to man in that awful day. So why don't you go now to the only source of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ? While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went into him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." See, this parable before us today tells us that all who make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, not all of them are ready. The foolish virgins had the appearance of readiness. They had the robes, the lamps. Many come into the Lord's house and they sit under God's word and they're not ready. Which leads us to ask, who then is ready? Revelations 9:7-8. "For his wife was made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the linen is the righteousness of the saints." Matthew 1:22-11. When the king came in to see the guest, he saw there was a man with no wedding garments. You You see, the wedding garment is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first part of our readiness to meet our heavenly bridegroom. If you know something of your own great sinfulness, and you're aware of the only way to righteousness is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has done for you, because it's only of His righteousness being imputed to you, you're now clothed in the garments of His righteousness. Your wedding garment in heaven must be Christ's blood washed through. You must have it granted to us by Him, and only by Him, and Him alone. If you know nothing of the new birth and the new heart, then you're not ready. You're not ready, my friends, to meet with the bridegroom. When the wise virgins slept, they were not ready. But when they heard the voice of the bridegroom, they arose. They trimmed their lamps, and then they were ready. Child of God, whatever grace you have within you, stir it up. Stir up your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for another. And then watch. You see, we're called to keep an eye. We're called to keep an eye for the coming of the bridegroom. And then it tells us, He will then take the wise before the Father. Behold, I and thy children whom thou hast given. Christ, you see, will confess the Christian's name, the true Christian's name before his Father. Come, you blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. But sadly for others, the door is going to be shut. You see, today, the door stands wide open. And you're sent out a great invitation, as it was in the days of Noah. We know that he mocked, and we know that God shut the door, and many, many people were lost. Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pastures. That still stands in our present day. But soon the door will be shut forever. Where will you be found? Will you be stand knocking and crying, Lord, Lord, open it to us? You see, even among the young and the old, we're all careless in sin. Young people are madly seeking after pleasure. There's many, many children out there in the world who are without Christ. The sad thing in the answer is going to come back and the door is going to be shut. And the answer from the other side will be, I know you not. I know you not. The Lord Jesus Christ will know His own people, who are now poor and despised. But you know, even if the world knew them not, Jesus will know them, and not one of them will be passed over. But you see, it wasn't, and it won't be, for the foolish virgins who had no oil in their lamp. Jesus will own them, will disown them. I'll finish with our text. Therefore watch, for you know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Let us just bow for a moment in prayer.